Hi, this is Mark Silverman. A warm welcome back to those of you who made it, and a friendly word of warning, something you won't find in any guidebook. The next time you check into a deserted hotel on the dark side of Hollywood, make sure you're tuned in to the Disney Parks Podcast.
Welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast with your hosts, Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com and Parkhopper John from WDWParkhoppers.com. Keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast at all times. And get ready for the Disney Parks Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, direct from a record-breaking 2 million years at the bottom of the evolutionary ladder, let's hear it for the Tumble Monkey!
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast. My name is Parkhopper John. I come to you from WW Parkhoppers. Joining me, as always, is the incredibly talented, the Stephanie McMahon Helmsley to my Triple H, the Chewbacca to my Han Solo, the Princess Leia to my awkward relationship with Luke Skywalker, Tony Castelnova from Disney by the Numbers.
Welcome to Monday this week. We are hot on... We're doing a whole new recording, and it's happening now on Mondays. I'm loving
it. Yes, yeah, yeah. It. We decided that we weren't going to try to kill ourselves to record on Tuesday.
Crazy us.
And then throw it out on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Hey, here's an idea. Why don't just move it to Monday, and then we'll have Tuesday.
Exactly.
Yeah, brilliant. So for those of you who have made the transition with us, thank you. But every Monday night at 8 o'clock, we record live on blab.im. All you really need is a Twitter account. You can log into Twitter, then go over to blab.im. You can pop right on and watch Disney Parks Podcast record live, warts and all.
Or go to DisneyParksPodcast.com/live, and you can watch us from there. And you don't need a Twitter account. Hey, this show is sponsored by our good and awesome friends at ThemeParkConcierge.com. They take all the stress off of you so you can have more fun and family time with your friends and your family in the parks. They will help you, not help you, they will do it for you. They will make all your dining reservations, your fast passes, and all of those other things all for a minimal fee. They could do a four-hour day in Walt Disney World for $300, or they could do a complete full-on day. That's from rope drop to park close for a mere $750. If you compare that to Disney's $250 an hour, that is a steal. And they could do that. They could do that for a group of 12 people, and they could do that for Disney World, Universal, Busch Gardens, Legoland, Space Coast. And they also now recently started Disneyland, where a four-hour day in the park is $500 and a full day is a mere $900. So contact them at 407-257-9973. Tell them Disney Parks Podcast sent you for a 10% discount, or you can email them at Ramon@ThemeParkConcierges.com or visit them on Facebook at Facebook.com/RamonVIPConcierge or just go visit their page on the internet at ThemeParkConcierges.com. Don't forget to tell them Disney Parks sent you.
That's right. And we're very excited because our friends over at DiningAtDisney.com, Kristen and Big Bubba and Al John and the whole crew over there have released their brand new Epcot dining guide. We're so excited for them because, you know, honestly, one of the most overwhelming parts of planning at Walt Disney World and planning a vacation can be the dining issues. You know, there are more than 300 restaurants and snack locations, but the guys over at diningatdisney.com's Epcot Dining Guide is designed to make it easier for you to plan your dining days at this incredible theme park. In the guide, you're going to find everything you need to research, plan, and enjoy your Epcot dining experience. And this way, once you arrive at the park, you'll have nothing to worry about. And the good friends over at Dining at Disney have given us a code that you guys can use to save $3 at checkout. So make sure you use Disney Parks, and that'll give you $3 off, and you can get your own digital version of the dining guide, and you can take it with you in the parks. And, you know, if you have to make a decision right then, you can have all the information at your fingertips.
Yep, great. And she does an ebook, and it is awesome. The nice thing about that, too, is you can take it with you in the parks. Just load it up on your phone. You can use like a Kindle reader to read that PDF file and or the EPUB file, and you're off and running. So you can take that book with you. It's a great tip that I like to tell people. You don't have to worry about, you know, trying to memorize it. Hey, we got a couple meetups coming up, John. First up is going to be April 23rd at 6:30 p.m. for the brand new spanking new show Smell of the Rivers of Light. We're going to meet at the Yak and Yeti Cafe and then head over. From what I'm hearing right now, the show is expected to start around 8:30 p.m. From what we have a news story about this a little bit later. So 6:30 may be a good time. We can maybe grab a little bite to eat, a little egg roll to go or something like that. Cause it's all a nice, outdoor eating area. We can do, you know, something, and grab something. I also, am hearing that there's going to be two shows per night to start. We'll have to see if that's true. If those rumors are actually true. Hey, I also got more information on May 14th. You know, we're going to have this Let's Go Fly Kite. And I'm telling you, you have to come to this. It is going to be spectacular. We are giving away free kites to everybody that comes. At least one kite per person. Depending on how many kites we get. Our friend Rich and Anna at X Kites have informed me today. Anna is handpicking the kites for this meetup. She is a Disney nerd, so she's going to make the selection herself so that we get only the best kites of Disney, Lucas, Marvel, and all of those great kites that you're going to want. So May 14th. Check our Facebook page. We'll make sure that we'll link it up in the show notes with directions and parking. I hope to get out there this weekend to check out the space and everything and make sure that we have pretty detailed instructions so that nobody is, trying to find
us. Heck yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
So those should be good meetups.
So the last little bit of news we want to tell you is Disney Parks Podcast is working diligently to get out to every places that you will find podcasts. Like, we're on iTunes. We would love for you to review us. Let us know how we're doing. Give us some stars there. But you might want to use something else like, like Stitcher. We're on Stitcher Radio, and we are working to get on board with the Google podcast player. As soon as we get approved for that, we'll let you know. But you can find us over on Stitcher Radio. Love to see you over there. And that's just another way that we can bring the Disney awesomeness to you guys. So check us out over on Stitcher Radio.
And now, Disney Parks Podcast News.
This week we have a lot of really good news coming up about things that are going on in the parks. And the first thing is sounds like summer concert series is right around the corner. We're very excited. Three new acts are going to make their Sounds Like Summer concert series debut in Epcot. Bands playing tribute to the music of Fleetwood Mac, which I'm jacked up about. Love Fleetwood Mac. A Tina Turner and Bruce Springsteen. I'm sure that Tony's not interested in that at all. are going to be part of the 7-week event at World Showcase at Disney's Epcot. Now, the Sounds Like Summer concert series returns to American Gardens Theater starting around June 5th. The lineup will include, now remember, entertainment is always subject to change. June 5th through 11th is Don't Look Back, a tribute to Boston. June 12th through the 18th is Hotel California, which is a salute to the Eagles. June 19th is going to be the Fleetwood Mac tribute band called Rumors. June 25th through July 1st is Simply Tina, a tribute to Tina Turner. July 2nd is Staying Alive, a tribute to the Bee Gees. July 10th through 16th is, if this is a video podcast, it'd be hilarious. July 10th through 16th is Bruce in the USA, a tribute to Bruce Springsteen. And July 17th through the 23rd, DSB, a tribute to Journey. Don't Stop Believing, DSB. So that'd be great. Performances are go ahead.
Okay.
It stinks like summer. I think this line is pretty good. Performances are included with your regular Epcot admission. Showtimes, as of right now, are scheduled for 5:30, 6:45, and 8 p.m. Daily. So that'd be awesome. I'm looking forward to a good chunk of these. I could probably do without the Tina Turner thing. I love Tina. Her music is great. I don't know if I want to see somebody acting like Tina. I'd rather see Tina. These other groups are usually, all of these are endorsed by the people that they're copying or tributing, they're sending up. So that'd be cool. And homage.
Homage to. I'd like to see Bruce imitator. That would be interesting. And the Fleetwood Mac one, I think would be good.
The picture that they sent out has a girl.
With Stevie or without Stevie tribute?
The only thing about the Bruce Springsteen, is there going to be a Courtney Cox double for Dancing in the Dark to come up on stage?
No. You know, the Billy Joel tribute guy, I think I told you his story. Billy Joel hired the guy. He now runs his band.
I did not know that.
He's now the band director. What happened was this guy was playing, obviously, in Long Island, where Billy Joel used to play himself. And the band stumbled into this bar. Well, not stumbled, but went to this bar and this tribute. Billy wasn't with them. And the story goes, they went to see this band that was, a Billy Joel. It was most of the guys from the Billy Joel band. And they really fell in love with this guy. So the next night they brought back Billy and
he's singing better than me.
With the guy and hired him. So you never know.
Nice.
probably. So, all right. Hey, there's a lot of things going on in the Animal Kingdom world. And I'm saying like the lodge, the park, there's a lot of stuff focused around those two entities right now. But now you're going to get Indulge Your Senses with a new Senses of Africa tour at the Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge. And this is not just your little, let's just take you around the lodge and give you a little history lesson. This is a 3.5-hour long tour. I said 3.5 hours. The Wilderness Lodge tour is an hour. The guys
from Gilligan's Island was only a 3-hour tour.
That's true, too. So a typical tour will begin with a unique twist on breakfast at Boma, flavors of Africa, followed by encounters with animals such as opakai, I've never even heard of it, a giraffe, ostriches, Red River hogs.
I dated a couple of them.
That should be interesting. And this tour, this tour will hit all five senses. So, taste, you will start your exploration with breakfast chock full of exotic things like Try the pap, a tangy porridge-like dish from South Africa, or a turkey.
Bodhi.
Booty.
Bodhi, dude. Bootios, man.
I had to say. I was going to say something else, but I figured let's start with that. Yeah.
Right.
And then more familiar things like the good old-fashioned Mickey waffle. But why not be adventurous, right? When in Africa, do as the African. Then you will get your hearing tested. No, you'll have your hearing sense. In addition to the snorts, grunts, and squeals and bleats, you may hear the animal keeper guides and trainers offer a plethora of information. Did you know that the Apache
who knew
wasn't even discovered until 1901? Did. I didn't know, and nor did I really care. Or that the Disney animal, Disney Animal Kingdom Lodge houses the largest collection of authentic African art outside of Africa continent, not to mention the zen-like peacefulness of the savannas in the early hours. I don't remember that when I was there. Maybe I missed that part.
The aforementioned hogs.
Then we'll move on to the sense of smell. A visit to Boma. Yeah. A visit to Boma, the flavors of Africa, is a buffet of delicious scents and spices. On the savannah, get a whiff of the hay or the browse, leaves, tender shoots, and other soft vegetation,
right,
which all grow on
property. The hay.
The animals dine on these things all day long. Then you have the sense of touch. Here's something you don't always get to do. Select from vegetables, mealworms, and other favorites to create enriching treats for a group of young Red River hogs. Then watch them playfully discover and devour the delights of you. Just hide them for them. This is great copy, written very well. Then you'll have the sense of sight. Of course, everywhere you look, from the authentic garb of the cast members, from Africa, the color palette of textures from the Jamba House, to the magnificent, intricate fur and feather patterns that express the eyes of the animals. These are the sights to behold of a lifetime. If you would like to do this tour, it is a mere $249 per person. It starts April 5th, tomorrow, so better hurry up. I know people are going to be lined up out the door for this. Call 407-WDW-TOUR, $249 for a tour of the resort.
Or you can use that money and
breakfast.
Buy a room, right? Couldn't you get a room for that?
Dear departing Tom Staggs.
And then just walk around.
Yeah, you could probably get a room for less. Yeah. I think the Wilderness Lodge tour is free. I'm just saying. You can buy your own breakfast. That's probably about $40 at the Whispering Canyon Cafe. You get a tour by a very nice gentleman. And it's only an hour.
There used to be a tour of the Animal Kingdom Lodge.
3.5 hours or 2.5 hours.
Same thing.
I think there used to be. Yeah, I think there used to be too. It was done by one of the
The indigenous
local African people, maybe not from the not the International College Program, but they do have some people from obviously Africa, and they all have their village
African cast members,
on their badge, which is interesting. So, it's very interesting to talk to them, when you're in the lobby. I mean, you can literally make your own tour. If you're really into the animals, I think the behind the scenes thing at the Animal Kingdom Park would be a lot more interesting than this. Go have breakfast and then go do the animal tour. I think you'll learn more and you'll have more fun. But if you just go to the lodge itself and then just talk to the cast members,
not that we're
you can make
trying
your own
to
tour.
Talk you out of doing
animal
it,
course but, $249. I'm just saying.
There's other tours on property that I think that some people get a lot more out of. That if I were going to spend $250 on a tour, I'd probably do something Keys to the Kingdom-ish.
Sure.
You know, that's just me. So It's very exciting because the Disney California Adventure Food and Wine Festival has started, and Disney has released something very, very awesome that they're going to have. Disney legend. That's right. He's a legend, everybody. Look this up. Kurt Russell will be making a special appearance at the California Disney California Adventure Food and Wine Festival. So what they've done is it's called a conversation with Kurt Russell, and that will take place April 16th, 2016. So that's a Saturday. The special event will be a 90-minute question and answer session with Disney legend Kurt Russell about his adventures and personal journey in winemaking, complete with a wine tasting. Now, the special event will be a $199 plus tax and gratuity event that you can book by calling 714-781-DINE. Now, if you're unable to attend a conversation with Kurt Russell, Napa Lounge and Restaurant at Disney's Grand California Hotel and Spa, Steakhouse 55 at Disneyland Hotel, and Carthay Circle Restaurant and Lounge in Disney California Adventure Park are all now presenting Kurt Russell wines by the glass. Tickets are still available for most of the celebrity kitchen events throughout the festival, and here is a schedule of talented superstar chefs. April 2nd, which you've missed, is Robert Irvine from Restaurant Impossible. April 9th is Andrew Sutton, executive chef for Disneyland Resort Signature Dining. April 9th, Guy Fieri from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, and everything else on the Food Channel. April 16th is Keegan Gerhard from Food Network Challenge and Hayden Wood, Flair, who's a Flair bartender. April 23rd is G. Garvin from Road Trip with G. Garvin. And April 30th is Graham Elliott, Master Chef and Master Chef Junior TV shows. Now, each event takes place at Stage 17 at Disney's California Adventure Park, and the cost is a mere $99 plus tax and gratuity. Reservations can be made by visiting Disneyland.com/food and wine or by calling 407-781-DINE. Can that be right? You're calling, calling Disney World to make a dining room thing over.
Well, I don't think they have events like this over there. So I think they're using the event staff here to take care of that.
That's a typo, because earlier in the copy, it says 714-781-DINE. And at the bottom, it says 407. So let's just assume that it's 714-781-DINE. And if it's not right, then you can use the 407 area code. But I bet you dollar to a donut, it's 714, and it was a typo on Disney's part.
And this price of $199 makes me believe that our signature events will now be going up to $199, because they've previously been $179. So this is forecasting what our signature events are going to be in the fall. Here's hoping, hey, Disney. Thanks.
Eat on the cheap at Disney's Food and Wine Festival, buddy. You cannot eat on the cheap.
Yeah, it's making, you know, me and Rick, you know, used to do a bunch of these, and now the price points just become impossible to do a bunch of these. You know, we now have to select, you know, maybe one, maybe two, and, you know, bail out. So that's sad.
And I think to some degree, outside of the money-making aspect of it, which is the driving force, I firmly believe that. That's kind of a perk for Disney, because now, you know, more people can come to different events, because, you know, you have to pick and choose the ones that you really want to come to, as opposed to you and Rick would do three or four. You know, it's always the same people. You could spread the wealth a little bit. Well, basically the wealth can spread themselves, because it's really the only people who can afford to go.
I mean,
but still being positive. I want to stay positive.
I mean, for years we did Robert Irvine every time. And last year we didn't do him because there were new people that were here that, you know, may not return. So we didn't do Robert because we wanted to do other people. I'm sure, you know, Robert missed us, you know, because we sat in the front every time. But I'd love to see Guy Fieri come out to Food and Wine. And I'd like to see Graham Elliott come out to Food and Wine. You know, if you're going to do the West Coast, you should, the thing with, like, these guys, it should be, if you're going to do that, you have to come then to Food and Wine on the East Coast. It should be contractual agreement. You know, I'm really, this is my dream person is Giada De Laurentiis. She's got to come out to Food and Wine, you know?
Yeah.
So, I'm hoping.
Hey, bro. If I was rich, I'd just pay her to cook you dinner one night.
If I was rich, I'd pay her to cook me dinner, too. All right, kids. If you have a magic band and you're coming down here for maybe a special event, a family reunion, maybe a high school reunion. I don't know. Maybe you're getting married. Maybe you're having a big anniversary. Maybe your kid's graduating college and you want to have a big party down at Disney World. Well, rather than having those silly little bands, contact Magic Your Bands at magicyourbands.com, and they can create for your family or your gathering a complete set of customized bands. It can have the reason you're doing the celebration. It can have the date on it. It can have people's names on it. They can do, you know, special designs. You can load up pictures. Maybe it's a picture of your grandparents celebrating their 90th wedding anniversary. You know, whatever it is, they can do some custom designs, or you can select from hundreds of their own designs. But go to magicyourbands.com. At checkout, put in Disney Parks Podcast, and you'll receive 10% off your order. All right, John, fire up the rumor mill. We don't have a rumor mill?
Not anymore. I got rid of that app.
Oh, all right.
Sorry.
That's what I call a podcast on a shoestring budget, my friend.
That's right. We can overdub the real audio in later.
Yeah. All right. There's some rumors about the River of Light, which I kind of hinted about earlier. So according to an internal document floating around on the internet, the River of Light at Disney's Animal Kingdom will make its first appearance on April 6th, which is 2 days away from this recording. The April 6th show will be for Animal Kingdom cast only. All other Walt Disney World cast members will have access to preview shows on April 8th, 9th, and 12th, and the 13th. Maybe we should start calling some of our cast member friends and see if they can get us into one or some or all of those.
Do we look like Ricky?
I don't know. I can look like Ricky. There's some sort of premium annual pass holder and DVC member preview event being held on the 15th, of which I'm both a member of both of those clubs, which will hold 4,000 guests. I can hold 4,000 guests. We expect this to be a added fee. The two Norm AP and DVC preview nights are scheduled right after that for the 16th and 17th. Once again, I am a member of both of those organizations and wouldn't mind going. There will be a press event on April 19th, and the show will be, of course, open to the public on April 22nd to all guests, and we are going to have our meetup on the 23rd, assuming all goes to plan.
Yes.
Because you never know with Disney testing things. Plans change.
Stuff happens.
So we have our event hopefully planned for the 23rd, and hopefully that will happen. Now, according to this document, show times once the show debuts will be at 8:30 and 9:45 p.m. nightly. So that's pretty late for a park that closed at 5 o'clock every night.
Yeah.
Now, I hear one of the reasons – well – obviously, one of the reasons they built Tiffin's is so that people had a place to eat before they went to one of these 8:30 and 9:45 shows. Because, you know, you want to kind of eat, and 8:30 is a little late maybe to get dinner, you know, if the show ends. And 9:45 is definitely late. Most Disney restaurants are closed after that. So that was the reason they built this signature restaurant in the park as well. So. We'll see what happens. I'm excited for both. I'm hoping – I don't think the restaurant's going to be open by the 22nd, but it will be nice to dream.
It might be open.
Now, where is that going to be located? I don't even know. Where's Tiffin's going to be located? Do we know?
Discovery Island, I think.
Okay. All right. Somewhere around – it's A Bug's Life or –
I would think so. I haven't been to Animal Kingdom since they made the announcement, so I don't know exactly where it is. I'm sure I could look it up while we're chatting, but I'm fairly confident that it is Discovery Island.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Let's hope it is open soon.
Yep. Well, hey, we'd like to do a little shout out for some good friends of ours who have been contributors to our Patreon page, David Maruka, Stacy Miller, and Willie Walter. Thank you guys so very much. And if you're wondering what I'm talking about, we have a Patreon page, patreon.com/Disney Parks Podcast, and it's where you can help support the show financially. Now, with the events that we have going on, there are some things that we'd like to do for you guys, and it's going to require a little bit more resources than we currently have. And so what we've done is we've started a Patreon page. So you can go over to patreon.com/Disney Parks Podcast, and each month you can help support us financially. You can support us as little as a dollar and as much as you'd like to. But the cool thing is, when you do agree to support us, we send you an amazing reward. We've got tiered rewards for however much money you give us and contribute. And we send that out as soon as we get everything together, depending on what you subscribe to. And we want to encourage everybody to go out and do that. Not because we're certainly not going to get rich doing this, but the whole point is doing a podcast is not cheap. And we try to keep the quality of what we do extremely high. And we're just to the point now where we need a little bit of help. So if you guys wouldn't mind helping us out, we certainly would appreciate it. And thank you guys who are already Patreons. We love you. We appreciate you. And we will do our dead level best to earn everything that you guys support us with. So speaking of Tiffins, I'm going to jump right off of our discussion and jump into a new article that just came out. The newest Walt Disney World table service restaurant is part of the biggest expansion in Disney's Animal Kingdom history, Tiffins, in the park's Discovery Island area. That's going to open this summer with dishes inspired by the world travelers of the park creators. Tiffin is the Indian word for lunchbox used by travelers, also a midday meal, and the new 252-seat restaurant at the park's Discovery Island area will open daily for lunch and dinner, with menus that will take diners to Europe, Africa, Asia, and the Americas. The detailed map within the restaurant's entryway sets the stage for an immersive dining experience celebrating world travel, with bold artwork derived from sketches, journals, and research from those who created the theme park. Now, Disney describes the interior design as a gallery where you can dine in with artwork that is the direct result of travels to Africa, Asia, and South America, which influenced the designs of Disney's Animal Kingdom. The ideas of the park's design team, including sketches, photography, architecture, and textures, are all presented in a way that is uniquely Disney. The galleries, or dining rooms, focus on Asia, a Trek gallery with 74 seats, and Africa Safari gallery with 64 seats, and the third, the Grand Gallery with 114 seats, plays homage to animal species in the Disney Conservation Fund that they work to protect. Now, Disney's Animal Kingdom is about the intrinsic value of nature, transformation through adventure, and a personal call to action. And the adjacent Nomad Lounge brings into focus these core values and alcohol. With beautiful waterfront views, the lounge focuses on storytelling and also on guest travels, with large banners as artistic representations of answers to travel questions written on the perimeter wall. For instance, what do you always do when traveling? Drink. Or what was your most adventurous moment? So I'm looking forward to this. I do notice in the artwork that the animal designs for the wall look very similar to some of the animal designs in the New Rivers of Light. Hmm. You know, kind of geometric shape. Yeah. I noticed that the elephant in the artist rendering looks very similar to one of the floats they have in the New Rivers of Light show. So I think they're very
coincidence. Very
I think not.
I'm smelling Joe Rohde's hand at work. Yeah, he probably does. Yeah, I hope Disney does this right. You know, a signature restaurant in any of the parks, I think, helps the park obviously. I like the fact that this will be open for lunch and dinner and not just dinner. You know, it's not going to be, you know, well, we're just going to get you, you know, dinner and then get you to the show and then get you out of the park. I like that it'll be open for lunch. I think this park needs a place for lunch right now because there's a lot of things that are still under construction. And there is another restaurant opening over in Avatarland, I believe, once that happens too. So I think they're going in the right direction with this, you know, finally.
Wow.
It may be actually a park I go to.
That's what I was going to say. It actually starts – it sounds like you're starting to have an admiration for the off-maligned Animal Kingdom Park.
Hey, you know, dinner and a show? I may be there once or twice a week.
Or when it's cooler.
Month. Well, no, because I'll just run in for dinner and a show and then leave. I don't mind doing that.
All right, you know. Cool. There you go. You've heard it there, folks.
All right, June, July, and August are off limits still. I don't go to any parks.
I can see the headline now. Tony Casanova, big fan of Disney's Animal Kingdom. This is my favorite park.
Let's not get crazy. One can hope, but let's not get crazy.
A man can
dream. Hey, last week, John, we had a contest.
Yeah.
And Zoe McGee guessed pretty damn close. She guessed Minnie had 175 and Mickey had 200. It's Minnie had about 175. That's pretty close. Wow. And Mickey only has about 150. Wow. So she gets pretty close. So Zoe, if you can email, I think I have your email address, but if you can email us your address and we will send you something nice in the mail.
Good job, Zoe.
Yep. So email that to DisneyParksPodcasts at gmail.com. And for this week's contest, John, we're going to use this.
The Disney by the Numbers book. Tony, can you get a copy of the Disney by the Numbers book? Is that possible?
You can. Wow. If you go to Disney Parks Podcast. No, go to – you can go there too. If you go to DisneyByTheNumbers.com, we have free shipping until I turn it off. That's how that's going to work. John, pick a page. Pick a number between 1 and let's say 140.
1 1 1.
All right, well,
111.
111?
111.
All right. So people that have this book, this may help you because John said 111. We're going to go to page 111. I'm going to pick a fact and then we'll have a contest.
Oh, excellent.
Okay. Let's say. Okay. Let's see here. Okay. Colorado Springs has a pool, John.
You mean Coronado Springs?
Yeah, that one. What did I say?
Colorado,
Coronado.
One's a state, one's a country.
Okay. They have a pool. It's called the Big, it's called the Dig Site.
Yep.
If you can tell me how many gallons are in that pool, typically on the average day, the closest person without going over, we will send you something. And this is how we're going to do it this week, kids. Rather than emailing us, we are going to make a blog post. With this question, we're going to make a blog post. We're going to make a blog post with this question, and you can comment there in the blog post with the correct answer, and that's how we will gather up the answers this time.
Now, ask the question one more time.
Okay. Coronado Springs has a pool. It's called the Dig Site. Yes. Tell me how many gallons, closest person without going over. You know, I don't want it in inches. I want it in gallons. How many gallons are in the pool?
All right.
We will send you something.
63 gallons.
Close. Go to Disney Parks Podcast. Look for the blog post with podcast trivia, and you will be able to answer the question by filling out the comments.
Excellent. All right.
That's how we will do it from now on until I come up with a better way. All right, kids, heading over to Epcot, our famous game that everybody can play in Epcot. You know, every park seems to have some sort of little game to keep the kids occupied. Well, Agent P has a new way to play this. You can now play it on your smartphone without having to carry around that stupid little thing they give you. So Agent P is getting a cool upgrade in the World Showcase at Epcot, and they've announced that you can now use your smartphone to play along. The amusing Phineas and Ferb-inspired game allow guests to join Agent P, that's Perry the Platypus, to the uninitiated, on a quest to stop a series of evil plots cooked up by who else? Dr. Doofenshmirtz.
That's Doofenshmirtz for those of you playing at home.
At various international pavilions throughout the World Showcase at Epcot, such as Mexico, China, France, and Germany. Now participants of all ages will have the option to use their smartphone instead of the phone, the field operative notification equipment, to guide them regardless of which method of communication you opt for. You'll have your hands full taking on these global missions. To get started, guests will have to seek out a recruitment center either at the Odyssey Bridge, that's on the entrance to a World Showcase, or at the International Gateway over kind of by England. As you're coming over heading towards France, you'll see a little kiosk on your right or your left, depending on which way you're coming in. And then you'll sign up there, and they will tell you how the game will operate. So that's cool. I don't know how many of these things walk out of the park because you really don't have to give a deposit or anything. You don't have to leave your name, your driver's license. You just go up, and they hand you the thing, and you walk away. So I'm sure some of these things accidentally leave the park.
Right.
I don't know what you would do with it once you got it home. Maybe.
I hope that once it leaves the park, it just goes as loud as it possibly can until the battery wears out 4 days later.
That would be a great thing. Great deterrent. Just turn it into a siren. On the monorail.
Yeah, on the monorail. That'd be funny.
Yeah.
WW Plantoons in the chat room says it winds up on eBay. I wonder how much one of those goes for on eBay. What do you think a fair price is for that?
$1.99.
$1.99 to own an actual piece of Disney property illegally? I'm sure it's probably more than $1.99, my friend.
This makes me now want to go there and just walk out with one.
Your former security guard busted at Epcot for stealing a phone, F-O-N-E.
A $3.99 prop from Disney.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, we'll have to Google that later and find out how much those are selling on eBay for.
Wow, I just saw the next piece of news that you're going to read, and I got really excited. Ooh, that's cool. I didn't miss that. Hey, guys, we have an update for you. For those of you who really do love the smell of old fish grease and carpet, those days are going away, my friends, because Fulton's Crab House is going to close for refurbishment in April. This is happening. If you don't come now, you've already missed the closing of Lights, Motors, Action Stunt Show. It's gone. It's gone. Yeah. It's dead to us. Never happened again. For those of you who've been paying attention, thanks, Disney. A lot of new great restaurants have recently been announced at Disney Springs. In addition, some of the restaurants that have been staples of the shopping and dining district have been getting upgrades to their menus as well as the aesthetics. Well, another longstanding Disney Springs restaurant will be going down for a lengthy refurbishment soon. Fulton's Crab House is going to close April 4th, today. As we record this, it's done. It's done. It's 9 o'clock as we record this. That restaurant, Das Kaput. There's going to be more plates and knives and stuff taken tonight than ever. Yeah. Almost as many as there were when we were there for closing of California Grill.
Exactly.
Yeah. So when the riverboat designed restaurant reopens, it will feature a brand new interior that includes the modern yachting theme, as well as a rooftop lounge that will overlook Disney Springs. There will also be an outdoor waterfront bar featuring a build-your-own fish boil and private dining areas.
Nice.
The menu will also see, yeah, very nice. The menu will also see a small change. However, the table service location will still feature fresh seafood and steaks. Specialties will include an oyster shucking bar, a Florida stone crab, an Alaskan king crab, steaks and chops, as well as classic and curated cocktails. There's no official reopening date. However, the restaurant is expected to open in the fall. What year? We don't know.
Yeah, I think it's going to be this year because...
It will be.
Yeah, the people that own this, own the Wolfgang Express and Portobello's. And what I'm also hearing, too, the rumor about Portobello's, once Fulton is back from their rehab, Portobello's will go down for their rehab. And what I'm hearing about the Portobello one is the outdoor dining. If you're looking at Portobello's as outdoor dining to the right, that will actually become part of the restaurant. And then they're going to build more outdoor dining off the back of Portobello's. So that's kind of like boathouse-ish where you can sit outside and kind of, take in the lake area.
Right.
So I hear that, what's going to happen there. But I guess the company that owns these didn't want to take both restaurants down at the same time. They won't be making any money. I'm sure they still have to pay rent. I'm sure Disney doesn't give them a rent.
Oh, yeah. No, you're not getting off on that. No. This has been something that's been needed. It's very, very dated. So when they open this up, it'll be a breath of fresh air. Plus, if they're adding new things like the oyster shucking bar, Park Harper says going to lose her mind if she finds that out. Mm-hmm. The bar that's going to be at the top overlooking Disney Springs, that's much needed. Some really cool space to hang out. It's a different setting. And you've got elevation there because it's, three or four stories above the water. So I think that's going to be great. The food's been okay. If they revise the menu, if you could do a build your own fish boil,
that'd be nice.
I'm so down with that. Our buddy Mark from Savannah, God, can you imagine what he's gonna be like coming down doing a
fish boil?
You, me, and Mark and Rick hanging out doing a fish boil.
Yeah. Sign us up.
Good stuff right there.
Yeah. It's gonna be good. Yeah. I always liked that place. It kind of creeped on the expensive side. Especially when with crab legs, obviously, or some filet mignon kind of dinner, and then you can have a combination of those two things, and it really went crazy. But it really, I thought the fish was always good there, And I really, what was it? The mussels. They had mussels, and the wine sauce, I thought was off the hook crazy. So,
right,
lots of good memories. Yeah. We ate there. Yeah, we ate there. Okay, hey, if you're a Joe Rohde fan, and I know there's a lot of them out there, he's giving away his earring collection. No, I'm kidding. Joe Rohde on April 22nd will take part in a very special signing with Walt Disney Imagineer and the portfolio creative executive Joe Rohde, who will be on hand to sign specifically created artwork as part of the Disney Conservation Fund. Joe Rohde will appear April 1st from 1 p.m. No, Joe Rohde will appear on April 22nd from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. at the Discovery Trading Company, previously known as the Disney Outfitters, at Disney's Animal Kingdom theme park. Please see wristband distribution guidelines and the signing. We'll put a link up to that. Right. Joe will sign the new coffee table book titled The Disney Conservation Fund, Carrying Forward a Conservation Legacy, which he contributed to. 100% of the proceeds from the sale of the Disney Conservation Fund, Carrying Forward a Conservation Legacy book, will be donated to the Disney Conservation Fund.
Nice.
So this is, Joe Rohde doesn't do a lot of signings.
Mm-mm.
And there's a whole wristband distribution that's going to happen for this. I think you have to get it like early in the morning. I think you have to be there like at 9 o'clock, which means people will be camping out probably somewhere, in front of the park or in the parking lot. Wristbands will be given out. I think assigned times, return times will be handed out. And then you'll have to come back during that window to get your book signed. You're going to have to buy the book. I think he's only, from what I read, I think he's only signing the book and nothing right. but the book. So you know, don't bring anything else. He's not signing your boobies or your arm or, you know, whatever else. Yeah, your earring or your Mickey ears.
Now, the cool thing is Tony and I are going to be doing a press event the first part of that week.
Mm.
So Rhodey will be there for that.
Uh-oh.
So I'm hoping that this will be the trip that I actually get to meet Joe Rhodey.
Yeah. You're a Joe Rhodey fan then?
I'm a big Joe Rhodey fan. I mean, I you know, look, I'll give you the fact that the Yeti from Expedition Everest is still broken after all these years. Mm. But for the most part, I love what Joe brings to the table. I think he can be a little crazy with it, but you cannot, you know, Animal Kingdom is still my favorite lodge. It's my favorite resort. You can't go wrong with Aulani. Aulani is gorgeous. When Joe Rhodey signs on for project, it's going to be expensive, but it's really high quality. Can't go wrong. You cannot deny his talent and ability. So I'd like to meet him. I like to shake his hand and I like to punch him right in the face and say, fix the dang Yeti. If that's okay with you, Mr. Rhodey.
Hmm.
I'll be screaming that as a security drags me away.
I'll have to make sure I have my camera ready.
Please do.
I think he's very creative. I think he's got, you know, I think he's a good storyteller. I think he brings a lot of theming to the parks. I mean, you know, the Animal Kingdom is probably over-themed, if I can say that. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on in that park. You know, there is not a blank space anywhere that doesn't have some – thing that is telling the story, should be part of the story. You know, it is just, there was a lot of stuff. I forgot how many props. I'll have to look at my book, but there were there are a lot of props in Expedition Everest. It was something like in the thousands that are in just that one attraction. Yeah. You know, so it's crazy. I mean,
yeah, I heard the rumor that they went into like a couple of villages and they basically was like, we want to buy your village. We'll take them all and your children. We want to buy your little girls.
Yeah.
You know, that's a Blues Brothers reference, by the way. That's not a sexist comment, just in case. You.
It's a Blues Brothers thing.
Anyway, I'm old.
No. That would be interesting. Maybe we will get to see a Joe Rhodey sighting.
If we don't get to, I may do this. I'd like to meet Joe. Buy the book. Why not? Unless the book's like $66, and I'd be like,
You could probably buy it on Amazon. Maybe you can buy it on Amazon.
I'm gonna take him a copy of my book and say, hey, look, I'll trade you. I'll sign your book. You sign my book.
Yeah.
Is that fair? That's fair.
Yeah.
Which we start the book. Those of you don't know what I'm talking about, here, let me show you. Hang on.
Uh-oh.
You pimped your book. I'll pimp my book. Disney Bucket List, which you can find over at wdwparkhoppers.com. And, you know, we've got this. Hey, look. Jerk. We've got a special going. Actually, I'll give you the secret code. If you go to.
Wait, let me write it down.
wdwparkhoppers.com/wdwtikiroom. I was recently interviewed at www.tikiroom.com. Great interview. Please go listen to it. Not because I was interviewed. Don't listen to it for that. Listen to it because Kristen and Aljon are amazing at what they do. And they have some great stories and some great insights. So go check out that podcast. That was a couple weeks ago. So I've got more stuff out. So go listen to that. But I gave them a code. I'm going to give it to you guys. So Disney Parks wdwparkhoppers.com/wdwtikiroom, and you can save $3 on the book and free shipping.
Cool. Wow. Good deal.
So yeah. So there's that. All right. Cool. So hey guys, listener mail. We've got listener mail.
Yeah, okay. We never really do this, and I thought I would do that. This person sent a nice email, and I thought I'd share that. I thought we should share it.
Yeah, we only share the nice mail here. That we don't share the bad mail.
We could share bad mail too. I really don't care.
I'd rather not. I just share the.
I don't get insulted. I'm very thick-skinned.
So we have We have an email from Terry. Terry writes, and I quote, "Hey guys, my name is Terry. I'm originally from Scotland, but I'm now living in New Zealand." Holy cats. "I'm quite new to the world of podcasts. I have recently started listening to you guys. I really love the show. It helped bring some Disney magic to my office. My husband and I will try to get to Disney World every 2 years. It's a long, a lot of O's, long yeah. way from New Zealand. And we usually stay in the Coronado Springs, or as Tony says, the Colorado Springs, for 3 to 4 weeks. Good wow. Lord have mercy.
That's great.
And make the most of it when we're there. We're currently saving for a mortgage deposit, so we have to miss their Disney trip." Really, yeah. She's making this face.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll be able to join one of your meetups next time we are back. Thank you for the podcast. Lots of love, Terry. Terry, thank you so much. That means the world to us. You would listen to us all the way over in New Zealand.
Crazy.
Or as I like to call it, the land of Tolkien.
Yeah. Hey, listen, if I was flying that far over that many time zones, I would come 3 to 4 weeks because it would take me that long to get acclimated to the time zone change, probably.
Jet lag would be a bane.
I'll tell you what, Terry, we'll make you a deal. The next time you come, we will try to make sure that we have a meetup around your visit. I think we can fit something in a 3 to 4 week time. I think we can squeeze something in.
Yeah.
Even if you have one, we'll try and have another one for that visit. Because anybody that's going to come that far deserves a good meetup.
Yeah. Let us know. We could reach out to some of our other Disney friends.
Yeah. Maybe we could make a party of it.
Yeah. Make a big old shindig, as they say in the South.
All right, there's one piece of news that we did not write down, or I didn't write down because it just popped up this afternoon. I just thought we'd share a couple minutes of it. The New York Times broke the news that Tom Staggs is stepping down. He is leaving Disney. It's a mutual parting of the seas. Disney's going their way and Tom's going somewhere else.
When is this official?
I think it's official as of today. Disney did officially announce it, but the story broke today. I think maybe he's going to find a replacement. Maybe he's going to stay on for a little while to get the new person up to speed. But, you know, my opinion is I don't think Tom was right for the job. hey, I'm going to call it the way it is. I don't think he was right for the job. I think he made a great accountant, a great bean counter. And you know, that's great, but when you're in charge of the Disney parks and you have to make creative decisions on, you know, somebody like Lasseter fits because he's very creative. He's got a creative brain. He can say, you know, this needs to be like this and this needs to be a thing like this. And I don't think Tom fit that. I think he struggled with it. You know, that's my opinion. I don't know. I don't talk to Tom on a daily basis or a weekly basis or even at all. I don't know what, you know, was going through. But from a annual pass holder and somebody that goes to the parks quite often, I just don't think that the parks needed the love that they, you know, deserve. You know, somebody like Eisner, you know, I keep saying his name. Maybe he should just come back. Maybe Bob should ask Michael to come back. You know, just you don't have to come back as COO. Just come back and run the parks. Help us run the parks.
Oh, yeah. He's totally going to do that. I'll just be there to help, guys. I just want to help out. My ass. I'll be trying to get back in that main office quicker than you could say, Tom.
He built another park. He was great for the parks. He did a lot of expansion and a lot of things in the parks. I think it's all about the park and the park experience.
Correct.
And Tom, not that person.
With so, Frank Wells.
That's true. So I'll say, see you, Tom. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. You know.
Moment of silence for Tom Staggs. Hit that note, Annie.
No, I can't call that.
That's okay.
So I don't know with you. What's your opinion, John? What do you think? Should he stay? Should he have gone?
Oh, yeah. I think that Tom Staggs was a good – first of all, let me go on the record. I've met Tom. Tom was very pleasant. Mm-hmm. Very pleasant to me. He's very gracious. We met on the Disney Magic when they refurbed the Magic and went out for a couple days. Tom was on there and a bunch of the bigwigs were there. I think there's a lot of people in the Disney organization that assumed that Staggs would take over when Iger left. I'm wondering if Iger has had a change of plans. Like, I just don't feel like moving my office for another decade.
It wasn't Iger. It was the board.
Right. Well, who has a lot of say in the board? Bob Iger.
I don't think it is him.
I think overall, you know, I like Tom. I'm sad to see him go. But at the same time, I think that you make extremely valid points. Disney is killing us right now with all little nitpicky financial things. You know, you mentioned something, you glossed over it really quickly in the story, that for the special events for the Rivers of Light preview, yeah, for the pass holders and DVC vacation members, we expect this to have an added fee.
Yeah.
Your DVC members, what the hell? We're annual pass holders. What the hell? You have to do test runs anyway. What's the deal?
Yeah. No DVC or a pass holder is going to pay to see a preview. You know what they'll do? They'll wait two more days and they'll see it for free.
Well, yeah. I mean, I understand.
Why would I pay when I'm going to see it for free?
Right. They're going to make an event out of it. I totally understand that. But that whole week, they're going to be doing events. We're going to be at one of them. I totally understand that. That being said, getting back to Tom, I think that if Tom was not on board with the creative direction of the company, he should go. He should go somewhere, and wherever he goes, he'll be amazing. He's very gifted and talented. My heart's desire is they bring somebody in that really sees and understands the concept of a creative company, mm-hmm, and maybe not fleecing your customers for every little drop of coinage they can get. And I know that's a company-wide issue right now, but we've talked about for years that Disney's had a plethora of bean counters that seem to be really hurting.
Yeah, sucking the life out of the parks.
And here's my fear. What if Staggs wasn't the bean counter that we think he is? What if he was the opposite? What if the bean counters are now in charge? Right. Stop and think of that for a second. Now, stop and think about how crazy that sounds and how horrifying that is as an idea.
This is what I think. I think Shanghai is sucking the life out of the company right now.
Did you see that article, though? There's an article that came out either in USA Today or Huffington Post, where they actually went through and said everybody who's blaming Shanghai and all these Disney prices are wrong. It's not Shanghai. That's not how a corporate
I think works. That's one piece of the puzzle. The other piece of the puzzle is, you know, I feel people that come to Walt Disney World more so than Disneyland want the ultimate once in a lifetime theme park experience. And I think people are struggling with that experience because of the roadblocks, and I'm looking at roadblocks, that Disney has put in place. Fast passes, the My Experience app, having to get dining 180 days in advance.
Right.
All of those little things, and then the price things, I think is making people struggle with. I can't bring my family and have that ultimate theme park experience I used to have.
Right.
10, 12 years ago. I'm finding it a tough time to do that now. And I think that's what people are struggling with.
I agree. I also
know
think
what it can be or what it should be, and it's not that.
Right. I completely agree with you. But I also think there's a systemic problem when they've taken traditions from, what, a week long, five days, down to two. And you have cast members that don't have the education of previous cast members, mm-hmm, and you're hiring people and putting them in front of guests and just calling them cast members who don't really understand what being a cast member is truly all about. That you're in hospitality. Yes, it's a theme park, but you're in the hospitality. You're in entertainment. All of those things come together because there's other theme parks very near to Disney who are starting to pull away as far as the hospitality and the entertainment level. So I think that is a piece of that puzzle as well. And all of those come from the top. So again, if Stags was one of the hurdles, I'm glad to see him go. If he's not, you know, I'm a little nervous of who they're going to replace him with.
Yeah, I am nervous too.
But I do love the fact that, you know, you've got people like Catherine Kennedy? Kathleen Kennedy, who's over at the movies doing stuff like Star Wars and Marvel. There's a lot of aspects out there under the Disney umbrella that are really, really doing well. When you're dealing with the parks, I mean, we're kind of hitting a little bit of a glass ceiling, and I'm not sure why. So maybe Tom Staggs is the first one because he was in charge of the parks. A long time.
And he had COO, that's Chief Operating Officer. So that's not just parks, that's movies, that's, you know, all the other brand stuff that's underneath that Disney moniker. That's huge. So, you know, I'm thinking of that woman that we interviewed. I think her name was Laura Santini, the synergy manager back in the Eisner day. I think we're missing some of that synergy almost a little bit. You need somebody in that COO office that you know, can creatively mold, shape, direct, and form and direct its laser at something and have all of the other brands support it and get into the mix. Right. And I think, you know, they lost their mojo a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
And listen, they are still a great company. And their stock is doing well. You know, I tell everybody that, you know, wants to invest in Disney, yes, it's the only stock I get a dividend from in the mail every year. Anyway, we'd love to hear what you have to say. And we enjoy, you know, anything you want to say. Give us an email, Facebook, Twitter, you know, just shoot us that, and we can use it here on the show. All right, as we say around here, we will see you in the parks.
We got at least another 3 hours of material left. Now just put all this stuff back, and we'll get on.
The Disney Parks Podcast is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company. All Disney parks, attractions, lands, shows, event names, etc., are registered trademarks of the Walt Disney Company.
Like a boat out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through one reach upon